A few days before Christmas, a woman woke up one morning and told her husband, "I just had a dream that you gave me a pearl necklace for Christmas. What do you think this dream means?" "Oh," he replied, "you'll know the day after tomorrow." The next morning, she told her husband the same thing. "I just dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace for Christmas. What do you think this dream means?" Again, he looked at her and replied, "You'll understand tomorrow." So Christmas Eve morning, the woman wakes up again and she smiles at her husband. "I just dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace for Christmas. What do you think this dream means?" Smiling back, he said, "Oh, you'll know tonight." So the man came home that evening from work with a small package and presented it to his wife. She was delighted. She gently tore off the wrapping paper, but underneath the paper, she found not a box, but a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. A dream is at the center of the gospel reading today, Matthew's version of the Nativity story. Compared to Luke's version, it's incredibly brief. There is no angel appearing to Mary, no heavenly chorus or shepherds abiding in the fields, none of the beautiful scenes that are part of our Christmas pageant that we'll come back to see in a few days. Matthew barely mentions Mary at all. Instead, he focuses his attention on Joseph and the angel that comes to him in a dream. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when dreams appear in the scriptures, there's generally some kind of heavy lifting that needs to take place. Generally, angels show up when something important needs to happen, which is exactly why an angel visits Joseph in his sleep. He has just discovered that Mary, to whom he is engaged, is pregnant. Now, I want you to think about engagement in a different way than we do today, because in biblical times, at the time of Jesus, marriage was essentially a contract, or engagement was essentially a marriage contract. It was just as binding as having been married without any of the benefits of marriage. No living together and certainly no sleeping together. So Mary's condition might easily be seen by Joseph as a sign of her unfaithfulness. Can you imagine Joseph's sense of betrayal? The feelings of anxiety and distress and even heartbreak. Matthew's story reveals that Mary and Joseph are very real people simply trying to get along in life. They are not characters. They're not perfectly painted figures in a creche where there is no smell of cow dung or the messiness and the pain of childbirth. Joseph and Mary live in a world where honor is paramount. And Joseph might be afraid of losing the respect of his neighbors or the customers who come calling on his carpenter shop. He may be afraid of hearing whispers as he enters the synagogue on the Sabbath. "Did you hear what happened to Mary? What a disgrace she is to her family." You see, he needs to protect his name and his reputation, his status within his community, the honor of his family. But the funny thing we learn about Joseph in today's reading is that he is as much wanting to protect himself as he wants to protect Mary. This says something, I think, about his character. Now, how would we react if someone we loved betrayed us? Well, Joseph decides to put Mary away quietly. It's a softer way of saying he's really going to divorce her. He's going to break this engagement contract. But it is certainly better than the alternative of publicly humiliating her, because that might just lead to her being stoned to death for infidelity. In spite of all his good intentions, all the things that Joseph wants to do to protect Mary, if he even puts her away quietly, well, her life was going to be difficult. She would be a burden on her family. Her life would be marked by shame. All of this happens because she says yes to God. Which brings us to the dream. You see, it takes divine intervention. It takes this messenger from God to ease Joseph's fears. He has a role to play, and God needs him to say yes in doing his part. Mary still needs him to protect her from the rumor mills, to get her through the ordeal of pregnancy and labor and birth. And like Mary, he has been chosen by God to help bring Jesus into the world, no matter how uncomfortable that makes him. Joseph gets wooed by God through the proclamation of an angel in a dream, with words about prophetic hope of salvation, of this miraculous conception of God coming to be one with us, Emmanuel. This dream, well, it was enough to convince him, because as soon as he wakes up, he goes and he finds Mary and he marries her. Now, I have a feeling that the months leading up to Jesus' birth, from that marriage until that happens, were a mixture of ongoing anxiety, of ongoing concern. It must have been for them a roller coaster of emotions. It was not one blissful baby shower after another, as we might see today. And I think the rumor mills and the innuendo and the mocking in his shop or in the synagogue likely still happened, because Nazareth is not unlike any town today, and human nature hasn't changed all that much, and we still relish when someone else has a downfall. And life, I think, comes with unexpected upheavals today, just as it did for Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Maybe that is the point of Matthew's story. It reminds us that life is unpredictable, and that at one time or another, we all face struggles and discord, that our futures are never certain, that couples, well, sometimes feel disconnected, that careers get put on hold or jobs get lost or retirement, well, it's just not what we thought it was going to be, or even what we can afford. That heartache is as much a part of human experience as all that we come to celebrate in this time, all the love and the courage we find in Joseph, the hope and the possibilities we find for Mary, the yearnings that we all have for a bigger, brighter future. Matthew is reminding us today that God works through real people like you and me, who face real challenges in life as we try to be faithful to all that God calls us to do. Mary and Joseph, you see, they weren't fairy tale figures. They were human beings who had the courage to hear and respond to God. They had fears and they had doubts. A carpenter and an unwed peasant girl, who both wanted to do the right thing, but who both needed angels to urge them to say yes. And because they did, because they were faithful, Emmanuel happened. And God is with us. God becoming one of us to show us how to live together and how to love. Christmas can also be a hard season. Even as we fill our homes with decorations and friends, with music and parties, with anticipation of being with family we've been separated from and will only see briefly. It's a time when we remember that life is sometimes filled with pain and loss and disappointment, even with death. We buried my maternal grandmother on Christmas Eve morning, my freshman year in college. And all these many years later, the memories of that day come flooding in and are part of every Christmas celebration. And that may be true for you in different ways. This is the mystery, I think, of Christmas, that God is with us in every circumstance of life, the good and the challenging. We need to dream about the possibilities of God's realm for us, of God's dream for us, for Emmanuel to come again and again and again and be born in us. So on this fourth Sunday of Advent, God invites us to enter Joseph's dream, to hear with him the angel's proclamation that Jesus is coming to take away our sins, to take away our brokenness, to calm our fears and our anxiety. Last Sunday, Kenya reminded us of a great theologian and martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This Sunday, I'm going to take a different tack and remind us of a different kind of public theologian, someone who is, I admire greatly, the singer-songwriter Pink. Her lyrics ask us to imagine a world where love always trumps hate and fear. She calls us to dream about reality where everyone has a home, where everyone has a place at the table. She calls us to hope that one day there will be peace and goodwill for all. In a different type of way, she proclaims the message of Emmanuel, of God with us. So today's gospel reminds me of her song, A Million Dreams. It's a song about unlimited possibilities. I close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting up for me that I call my own. Through the dark, through the door, through where no one's been before, but it feels like home. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care if they call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. Because every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take. Oh, a million dreams for the world we're gonna make. So let's dream that Christmas will come every day in our places of work and study and play, around the breakfast table and around the dinner table, in this holy place with this holy table today. Let's dream of Jesus being born every time we recognize the Christ in one another. Let's dream of a world without fear and anxiety, of the possibilities of finding our own Bethlehems where the human and the holy meet together. And let's dare to dream that Jesus will be born within us again this Christmas. Amen.